Hello. How are you all out there in Zoom land? Anyway, here we are, Glory and I, and we're just so happy to be with you. Another Lord's Day, even though you might be looking at this on Monday or Tuesday or Wednesday. But anyway, we hope that it'll be a challenge to you. The book that's been given to me, and we certainly enjoyed last week's meeting on Hannah. And this week, we're going to be talking about another woman in the Bible, in the Old Testament, and that's the book of Ruth. And I'm going to try to bring out five different points. First of all, we're going to be talking about God is concerned about all people, regardless of race, nationality, and status. The second point.
Men and women are both equally important to God.
And the third point we're going to bring out from the book of Ruth is there is no such thing as an unimportant person to God.
God uses little things to accomplish great plans.
And then we're going to finish off with the application and so on and come to the knowledge that God has a Redeemer in place which can rescue us from the devastation of sin. So we hope you're going to enjoy this. So we're going to switch it over now, and we're going to go to a slideshow and present what God has put upon our hearts. And we hope that you enjoy it and that you will be blessed by it. So here we are in the book of Ruth. And we want to just thank you again for inviting us to share from God's word. When I first read the book of Ruth to prepare a sermon for this Sunday morning, I was thinking, how could I apply it to the situation that we're in? And then it came to my mind the tremendous series we've just come through, To Know Your Neighbors. And when I thought about and I went over some of the messages that Alex shared with us, I realized that Ruth was a perfect example of someone who experienced coming to a new country. She was a stranger. And you know, in our neighborhood today, we have many, many people from other countries. And I thought that as I read and studied the book of Ruth, I thought of our neighborhood around Cascades Gospel Chapel. There are so many outsiders, people who are new in the community, people who are sort of lost. And here we are at a beautiful situation on 22nd and Boundary that we can meet the needs of a lot of those people. So as I was thinking about this, I come to the realization that Ruth was a stranger. Now, my first point that we're going to be touching today is exactly God is concerned about people regardless of race, nationality, or status. In Exodus chapter 23, verse 9 says,
"And you shall not oppress a stranger, for you know the feelings of the stranger, since you were strangers in the land of Egypt."
At every turn in the text, we are reminded that Ruth is a foreigner. She was introduced first as the Ruth the Moabite. Then it was said in the word in Ruth, the book of Ruth, a young Moabite woman. And then in another place, it talks the one who returned from with Naomi from the territory of Moab. Yes, Ruth is an immigrant. The author doesn't want us to miss this simple fact that she was a stranger. Now, Cascades Gospel Chapel, Concerned, Compassionate, Caring Cascaders, are people who have always looked after strangers and foreigners. It's sort of in their DNA. And here, for instance, in 1985, you can see pictures of many different Cascaders involved in the work with the Spanish-speaking people from El Salvador. And we took them to dentists, we took them to lawyers, we took them to driving schools, we took them to doctors, we found furniture for them. But that was part of Cascade's ministry. Ruth had been comfortably in her own homeland of Moab until disaster struck, just like these people from Central America. They were also, but then they had to leave. Her father-in-law, Ruth's husband, Ruth's brother-in-law, all died. And Ruth's mother-in-law, Noemi, heard that the Lord had come to help those in distress and were providing food for them. So she decided, Noemi decided to return to Bethlehem, her hometown. And the thing was interesting, she tried to tell her sister-in-law to go back, to stay, and she would go to her country and they would stay in their country. Even though she knew what she was getting into, Ruth said, no, I'm going to follow you. I'm going to be with you. And then we come to this passage that we are so familiar to all of us in Ruth chapter 1:16.
Entreat me not to leave you or to turn back from following after you. For wherever you go, I will go. And wherever you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me and more also, if anything but death parts you and me.
In regards to Cascades helping those from other countries, what happened after that was the Laotians came. And here in the picture on the top left-hand corner, you'll see a family that Cascade has picked up at the airport, and they brought them home, and they looked after them for years and years and years. Not just this group, but there's a whole group from Laos in Cascade Gospel Chapel, and you can see the before and the after. And then, of course, another ministry of Cascade Gospel Chapel over the years was the OCF. They took care of Asian people coming into Canada and getting them settled, helping them. And Saturday nights, these are just some of the hundreds of pictures I have of different get-togethers and picnics and parties. And it was wonderful the way Cascades have looked after it. Now, what Cascades was doing, they were just obeying the Old Testament. They were just obeying the New Testament. And the Old Testament, Leviticus chapter 19, verse 34 says, the stranger who resides with you shall be to you as a native among you, and you shall love him as yourself. For you were aliens in the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God. And then in the New Testament, we read also the command from God. And it says in Hebrews chapter 13:2, don't forget to show hospitality to strangers, for some who have done this have entertained angels without realizing it.
The Greek word for hospitality that is used in the New Testament is philoxenia, which literally means love for strangers. Each time we are commanded to practice hospitality, God is literally commanding us to have and show love for others.
And this is what we at Cascades are trying to do, to love those people in our neighborhood and to minister to them and to help them. The Lord said this at one time in his 3 years of ministry. I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you took me in. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me. Then later on in verse 37, it says,
then the righteous will answer him saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? When did we see you a stranger and take you in, or naked and clothe you? Or when did we see you sick or in prison and come to you? And the king will answer and say to them, assuredly I say to you, Inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of these, my brethren, you did it to me.
This is God's commandment. This is what he wants us to do. And this is the message that I'm bringing to you today from the Word of God. We must look after strangers. You know, the book of Ruth is for today. In Galatians 3:28 says, there is no longer Jew or Gentile, slave or free, male or female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. The book of Ruth has so much to teach us today regarding the relationship with foreigners and the ultimate healing of ethnic strife. There is so much problems. You see what's happening in the United States of America. You see what happens all over the world. Paul's letter to the Galatians, it says that exactly here in Galatians chapter 3.
The message of Ruth applies wherever ethnic strife exists, whether in the despiteful treatment of the Dalit people in India or the brutal genocide in nations such as Rwanda and Sudan, or the atrocities in Croatia, Serbia, and Bosnia, or the occasional antagonism against immigrants in North America. We have been a witness to that lately with all the uprisings and protests in the U.S.
And I myself in 1995 went to Rwanda and I saw 1.5 million displaced persons, and we tried to minister to them. The gospel of Jesus Christ is the only cure for ethnic strife. But by its teaching, that is Christ, all are equal, accepted and loved much, penetrate to the depths of the heart and soul of the church. The book of Ruth shows that the Lord delights to accept ethnic outsiders into his community, though through faith in Christ, they will be willing to come. Yes, it says in Galatians 3, 11.
In this new life, it doesn't matter if you are a Jew or a Gentile, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbaric, uncivilized, slave or free. Christ is all that matters, and he lives in all of us.
You know, it's very interesting, the significance of Ruth's identity. And it was so, so interesting to study the whole realm of the children of Israel leaving. You see the red line here. Follow the red line. And they came up to Eden, and then they came up to Moab.
To understand just how miraculous it was that King David was born, we must understand the massive yet largely unstated significance behind Ruth's identity as a Moabite. The Moabite nation was the result of the incestuous relationship between Abraham's nephew Lot and Lot's older daughter, which is found in Genesis 19. The Moabite people were therefore related to Israel. This is why, as Israel prepared to enter the promised land, the Lord commanded them not to go to battle with Moab. He was not going to give any of the land of Moab to Israel, for he had given it to the descendants of Lot. Although the Moabites refused to show the hospitality due to members of their extended family, they did permit Israel to cross through their territory on their way to the promised land.
This is such an interesting story. You know, there's a similarity between Ruth and us today, because Ruth was a foreigner in a new land. So we here in Canada, in the world, we're foreigners, because this world is not our home. We're just passing through. Our home is in heaven. We find that the New Testament, that Gentiles, we who are Gentiles, are accepted into the people of God. Ruth is a classic example within the Old Testament of how an individual outside of the covenant community became a member of the people of God by faith alone. By faith alone. We see that in Romans chapter 3, 29 and 30. Ruth is a foreigner and a part of a despised people who had treated Israel with inhospitality and hostility. Nevertheless, through her faith, the Lord welcomed Ruth into his covenant community as a full member, just as we are accepted into the community, into the family of God, through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes? In fact, by her unswerving loyalty to Naomi, Ruth matched the great archives, the great people of Israel. Ruth is one of only five women to be mentioned in the genealogy of Jesus. And we find that in Matthew chapter 1, verses 1 to 16. Now, my second point, which I'd like to bring forth today, is men and women are both equally important to God. God cares about men, and God cares about women all the same. We are all one in his eyes. Well, most false religions, they put women down. They don't honor women. They honor only men. But Christianity shows us from the Bible that God honors both men and women at the same level. There is no difference between men and women. And that's a very important part of this book of Ruth. Yes?
Women are heroes in the Bible. There are only two books of the Bible named after women, Esther and Ruth. Ruth is one of the few women mentioned in the genealogy of Jesus referenced in the book of Matthew. What is significant about this is that women weren't ordinarily included in genealogies. Many have regarded the book of Ruth as an inspiring piece of sacred literature with an important message. In this story, we see a simple Moabite widow becoming an essential character in the powerful story of salvation woven in the Bible.
There are many important figures in the Bible who are recognized for their strength and character. While many think of men first when it comes to these strong biblical figures, there are also a number of important women in the Bible, people like Ruth, who inspires us. And I hope this chat, this talk, this message will inspire you. These women were examples. Unfortunately, too often women's stories have taken second place. And we agree with that. And we hope that this will be an inspiring for each and every one of you. By faith, Ruth became a deeply significant woman in Israel's history. By faith. Because remember what she said, your God will be my God. Because her God wasn't God Almighty, it was the God of Moab. So here she changes, she receives, she accepts the faith of Naomi in the family of God through God Almighty.
Because of the Lord's faithfulness to Ruth and Boaz, the world would be given the Messiah. While many widows can relate to Ruth's story, it's a story so many can connect with. The fact that Ruth and other widows are mentioned in the Bible indicates that God is close to those who have experienced loss. It also indicates that those who experience loss still have God walking with them. Miracles are still possible, even in the midst of loss.
The original, the ordinary, can do the extraordinary work of God. God chose this woman. What is so fascinating about Ruth's story is the fact that she's just an ordinary person. Maybe this is why so many are drawn to her story and find it so compelling. She may not be known as a famous person or come from a famous family. She was just an ordinary person. She didn't come from a wealthy family. She came from an ordinary family, just like you and I here who are listening to this message. She's simply a widow from an enemy country, from an enemy nation. Yes, she's brave and her faith doesn't waver. That's what makes her so different. Her faith doesn't waver. She's simply a widow, not nothing. Ruth shows remarkable faith for such a young believer. Faith that will still purpose for her future. Faith is believing that Jesus, who he is and what he did for us, and we can become part of the family of God also. But we have to be brave. We have to be obedient. See, she was obedient. And this is so true what Psalm 68:5 says.
A father to the fatherless, a defender of widows, is God in his holy dwelling.
Ordinary people in the hands of an extraordinary God can do extraordinary things. Ruth was an ordinary person, just like you and I, but she was brave. She was faithful, she was obedient, and she was loyal. There are 11 widows mentioned in the Bible, and in both the New Testament and the Old Testament talks about these 11 different women. Ruth and Naomi are two of them. In scriptures, widows are repeatedly the subject of miracles. God looks after women.
God keeps a careful eye on the widow. He is profoundly concerned for her, together with the stranger and the fatherless. He is righteous and protects them, for he is a father of the fatherless, a defender of widows in his holy habitation. The incarnate Son of God is like him. He cared for his widowed mother. He also raised from the dead the son of the widow of Nain and returned him to his mother, and in the spirit of the prophets, condemned those who took advantage of widows.
Yes. And the third point, there's no such thing as an unimportant person in God's eyes. Now, all human persons, all of us, are important in God's eyes. I'm not going to get into the politics, and maybe I shouldn't use the expression, but you know, all of this, all lives matter. That's what I'm trying to say. And that's a biblical concept. As at the service, few saw Ruth as an important person. She was from Moab, which was a nation that originated from incestuous encounter between Lot and one of his daughters. She was a poor widow. She was living in a foreign land, away from her family and friends. Yes, all human persons, all of us, are important in the eyes of God. And you know, when we think of the whole story of Ruth, God shows the importance in that the Son, Jesus, the Son of God, is in the lineage of Ruth, because she was a part of the great grandmother of King David. And you can see here the lineage of that.
God's plan typically involves using people who are considered to be underdogs or unimportant or unimpressive from man's perspective. His strength is made perfect in our weakness.
Yes, the word of God says, "But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. For my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weakness, so that Christ's power may rest in me." Also, in 1 Corinthians 1:27 says, "But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to put shame the things which are mighty." God is so good, and God wants to take care of all of us. The fourth point we're going to bring forward this day is exactly that God uses little things to accomplish great plans. Yes.
What an amazing plan God had for a series of little things that all added up to important pieces in God's big plan. God intended for Ruth to be a part of the story of the lineage of Jesus. So he pulled together events such as the famine, Naomi's relocation to Moab, the return to Bethlehem, Boaz's bloodline, and many other events just to ensure that Ruth could be a part of his plan. And God does that same thing in our lives today.
Yes. The next point we're going to bring forward is the last one. And God has a redeemer, just like Boaz was the redeemer for Ruth and her mother-in-law. So God has a redeemer in place who can rescue us from the devastation of our own sin. And you know who that is. He's hung on the cross, but he's not on the cross today. He can be in your heart as he can be in my heart. God has a redeemer for our lives. His name is Jesus. I just love that name. Just love that name. Yes, Boaz was a type of a symbol of Christ and his redemptive work in our lives today. You see, we all have desolated as a result of our sinful nature. We are empty, just as Naomi was empty and devastated after she had lost everything and returned to Judah. Our sin has redeemed us. Our sin can be redeemed by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Jesus is willing to redeem us. He wants to rescue us from the penalty of our sin. And all we have to do to be rescued is to call on him in faith and ask him to save us. Our hope is that you are one of his redeemed. If you are not, our hope is that you will call on him right now and ask him to save you once and for all from the consequences of your sin.
Yes, Ruth 2, chapter 2, verse 12 says, "And the Lord repay you your work, and a full reward be given by you by the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings," notice that, "under whose wings you have come to refuge." Also in Psalm 57:1 says, "Have mercy on me, O God, have mercy. I look to you for protection. I will hide beneath the shadows of your wings until the danger passes by." What a beautiful story. Boaz says in verse 12 that God is really the one who is rewarding Ruth. It wasn't Boaz who was rewarding Ruth, it was God. Because of her love for Naomi, Boaz is only an instrument of God, and you and I can be instruments of God. But notice the words, "The Lord recompensed you for what you have done, and a full reward had given you by the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to take refuge." The picture is of a God as a great, with great winged eagle, and Ruth is an eaglet coming to find security under the wings of our blessed God. You can do the same thing today, and I can do the same.
This is a common teaching in the Old Testament. For example, Psalm 51 says, "Be merciful to me, O God, be merciful to me, for in you my soul takes refuge. In the shadow of your wings I will take refuge." Notice the word "for." Be merciful to me, for in you my soul takes refuge. Why should God show mercy on Ruth? Because she has sought refuge under his wings. She has counted his protection better than all others. She has set her heart on God for hope and joy. And when a person does that, God's honor is at stake and he will be merciful.
Yes, the application. The application is very simple here. Bruce asks the question, "Why have I found favor?" You and I will be found, we can find favor to God if we hide under his wings. The answer is that she had taken refuge under the wings of God. and that this had given her the freedom and desire to leave home and love Normie. She was honored then by admitting her need. She realized her need. You and I must admit our need of a savior. And we must hide not under our own abilities, not under all our giftedness. We are to hide under the wings of the Lord God Almighty. This is the message of the gospel of the Old Testament and the New Testament. God will have mercy on anyone, Canadian, American, people from Israel, all over the world. But we must humble ourselves like Ruth and take refuge under the wings of God. Jesus said,
O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, killing the prophets and stoning those who are sent to you, how often would I have gathered your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you would not. Behold, your house is forsaken and desolate.
All we have to do is to take refuge under the wings of Jesus. Stop justifying ourselves. Stop relying on ourselves. Stop glorifying ourselves. Ruth can be a great model for us. God is not an employee looking for an employee, looking for employees. He is an eagle looking for people like you and I who will take refuge under his wings. He is looking for people who will leave father and mother, homeland, or anything else that may hold us back from living a life of love under the wings of Jesus. I trust that this message has been an inspiration to you. We're just going to turn it over now and we'll close off. Jesus wants us to be under his wings. He died for us. He died for you. He died for me. And our wish, our hope, our desire is for every one of us at Cascades to hide ourselves under the wings of God Almighty. May God bless you and may he keep you. And we trust that you'll enjoy this message again by listening to it if you want to.
At this time, we are going to enter into a time of communion. In communion, we remember Jesus' body, which was broken for us on the cross, and his blood, which was shed for us for the remission of our sin. We take simple bread and juice, but we remember and celebrate what Jesus accomplished for us on the cross. And we remember his victorious resurrection over Satan's sin and death. You see, Jesus, he was the one who redeemed us, who saw us in our poverty, and he became poor so that we could be made rich. Jesus is the one who brought us into his family so that we could cry out to God the Father and know him as Father, and we would be his children. We would be heirs with Jesus in his kingdom. And so in communion, we remember that we've been washed clean of all of our sin, that God actually identifies with our suffering and our pain. He shows us that in the cross. But he also shows us that he doesn't leave us there, but he comes to be near to us. And so at this time, I'd invite you to take the bread, if you've already prepared it, and eat together in your homes. God, we give you thanks for your son, Jesus, whose body was broken so that we could be made whole and reunited with you. We eat together right now. And Lord, we also want to give you thanks for this juice that reminds us of your son who shed his blood. His death was costly. It cost him everything. But by it, we have been redeemed, set free from sin, from death, from slavery, to all of it. You, God, have done it. You have accomplished it. You have rescued us from all those things. And now we drink and feast with you, God, celebrating what you accomplished on our behalf. Would you drink together now?